Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. I'll be reading out of the New Living Translation here this morning. Children, obey your parents, because you belong to the Lord. And they're all going, uh-oh. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on earth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the sunshine, and we thank you for your son. Lord, these are three wonderful things we get to take in today. And Lord, I pray that we learn something of you today. And Lord, I pray that you lift our hearts. And Lord, that we have a new hope today, or a renewed hope, Lord, as we are blessed to be walking on this earth. And we pray for a long life, and show us how to do that today. We pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're starting a new series here just for the month of February called Family Portraits. And we just want to look at different parts of the family and the family of God, in essence. Because I believe family was God's plan from the very, very beginning. He saw that man was alone, and that was bad. Guys, that was bad. He said, it's not good. And we have scriptures where it says he was united with his wife. And a man should be united and leave his father and mother. And there's a father and mother. And then there is commands of be fruitful and multiply. It means have lots of kids. Be fruitful. And then we have scriptures in Proverbs all over the place. Train up a child in the way they should go. And these are encouragements of God's plan all along of what he wants. There's scriptures also in Psalms that children are a heritage. They are a reward. That's all the Old Testament. And then we get into the New Testament and the epistles, which are, you get Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. Those are our gospels. And then you get these little letters afterwards, which are the apostles writing letters to churches that are having some difficulties. They need some wisdom. Has that ever happened in the church of God? I believe so. We need some wisdom. And so they wrote these letters, and time again, Paul and Peter and these other authors are writing out scriptures saying, this is how it should be set up. This is how the family should be. And they give these instructions. I believe it was important, and I believe it was God's plan all along, this family. So we want to go through a family series. And today we're going to look at children. Next week we're going to look at parents. Week after that, Pastor Arvid Moyne will be back, and he's going to be our expert on grandparents. You probably don't want to hear about that from me, but he's going to be back on that Sunday, the 16th. And then we'll wrap it up with husbands and wives. So today we're going to be focusing on children, and I believe this, in this four-week series, applies to everybody. I think we're all children. Anybody here not a child of someone? Okay, I think it applies to us. And I believe all these, because it's a picture of the family of God, all these steps are good applications to us. So whether you've been married or have kids or have grandkids, it all applies to you. Things that we can learn of this structure that God has set up. But today, we want to look at children. And I hope that we can all learn something today. So we're going to dig into this scripture primarily today. And we're going to pull out some key words and see what the Bible has to say with it. So the first word in Ephesians chapter 6 says children. Children. So who is the author? This is the Apostle Paul. Who is he talking about? Who's he talking to? Children. Okay, what is a child? Now, in Scripture, you can go to Romans 9:11, or there's other scriptures out there that talks about what the youngest of a child is, and that's a child in a mother's belly. Children starts here, okay? Not yet born. God identifies them as children. And we also know that they can experience things. Who was the first person to rejoice in the presence of the Savior? John the Baptist inside his mother's belly. There's something special about that God has called a child. So there's the young side. Okay? How about the old side? In the Bible, when there's scripture talking about children, who is he talking to? I learned something this week. I might say that I may have been wrong. Even as of Thursday night, we talked about children and such in the Romans Bible study. And we talked about this age of accountability. Have you ever heard of that before? The age of accountability. And in Jewish tradition, that's about 13 years old. And so I remember doing a really good message as a youth pastor at my previous church, talking to our youth group, saying, if you're over 13, get your act together, because the Bible considers you an adult. I may have been misled, because as I dug in this week, trying to figure out, okay, what is this age? And sometimes we get it from Jesus. It seems like when he was 12 and he came to the temple, it was like this aha moment where he completely understood. Does that mean he was a grown man? Well, you got to look at other scriptures. And the primary scriptures that we see with these different age groups comes out in Numbers chapter 14. And in that, God, his people, had been into slavery. They've been brought into Egypt. And God brought Moses along and says, I want to pull my people out of Egypt, and I want to bring them to the promised land. And so he does all these miraculous things, and he brings them to the promised land. And they get to the edge, they get really to the river, and they want to send in 12 spies. So they send in 12 spies, and they're in there for, I believe, 40 days. And they come back, and a couple of guys are carrying a cluster of grapes that's so big, two men had to carry it. And they talk about all the blessings that are in this promised land, except they have giants. And 10 out of the 12 say, we can't go in there. They'll destroy us. And two of them say, oh, yes, we can. God has just proved himself that we can take this place. And they argue about it. And in essence, they came to the conclusion, nope, we're not going to go in there. And this slightly upset God. And God speaks to the people. And he says, everyone from the age of 20, happy birthday. This might not be a good day if today's your birthday. Everyone from the age of 20 and older, you're going to go wandering in the desert and you're all going to fall and die in the desert. Oh, happy day. But 19 in 364 days, or 65 with a leap year, you all are going to survive. And we're going to wander for 40 years. And we're going to get rid of that. We're going to take care of that. And so he was, and those were called the children, 19 years and younger. You can find other scriptures in Exodus 38, Numbers chapter 1, 2 Chronicles 31, Ezra chapter 3. Anytime they took a census, anytime they had the number of the people, whether just to find the number of the people in Israel for planning or for military service, it was always clearly defined that they counted everyone who was 20 years and older. Not 13. So the Bible focuses on these 19-year-olds and younger as children. Now we know who we're talking to this morning, hopefully on the same page. And it does talk about a bit of accountability. We won't read it, but in John chapter 9 is a fascinating story of a young man who was blind since birth, since he was a child. And they were arguing, why is he blind? Was it his parents' sin? Was it his sin? What's up with it? And eventually Jesus just heals him. And then they start, the Pharisees get involved, and they start having a little bit of an argument. And the Pharisees start asking questions to the parents. And parents say, don't ask us. He is of age. You can talk to him. So he must have been at least 20 years older. Though a young man, and they're talking about his childhood, he was able to stand up and technically defend himself. So what we're looking at is 20 from the age of 19 or so and younger would be children as defined in the Bible. So some of you are going, okay, we're talking about children today, and we know that next word. I'm older than 20, so la, 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 right? No, we're going to dig into that, okay? Because the next word says obey. Children, obey. Oh, okay. So this is just the kids that have to obey. I'm 20 in 2 days, so that means I don't have to obey anymore. Well, keep your ears open, because the Bible is going to talk this morning. So 19 years and younger, obey. Follow the instructions of your parents. It's pretty clear. They tell you what to do. You should follow the instructions of your parents. And the Bible's pretty clear of what parents you should do. And these might be a little frustrating, maybe if you're the child or whatnot. But there's scriptures all over the place, a lot in Proverbs, about how we instruct our children. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Direct your children in the right path, and when they're older, they will not leave it. Okay, parents, that's what you need to do. You instruct them. direct them. And this is a fun one, Proverbs 22:15. A youngster's heart is filled with foolishness. Any parents dare say amen? But physical discipline will drive it far away. The Bible makes it pretty clear. Parents, you are to instruct, you are to direct your children. Why? Because children need to learn. Children need to grow. They need to be able to get understanding because they are children. And we want them to be good adults. And we get that in 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Do you think they did that on their own? Or did they have a little bit of help? Did they have a mother or a father or both? Did they have people influencing the child? So we want to raise children to be adults. But it says, children, obey my parents. But you might be thinking, so what if my parents aren't really good parents? What if my parents teach me to steal and to lie? Where our scripture keeps going, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. You belong to the Lord. So that means there's already a set of rules that you need to follow. There's already instructions that you must obey. You obey this, and you obey your parents. If you belong to the Lord, and they say, oh, we're going to teach you how to steal today. And the Bible says, don't steal. Well, now you got a little bit of a conflict, and we can look at that as adults. We are to obey. We are to follow the governments that are set up in this country, right? But what if they start asking us or teaching us to do things that go against the Word of God? Obey the Word of God. So, children, you must balance these things. We obey our parents, and we also need to obey the Word of God. We need to follow both of these. So, why is it so difficult sometimes to think of, well, it's hard to follow our parents? Well, someone's got to raise us, right? I don't think God has come down, or Jesus is in flesh and blood in the nursery right now. He uses us, his hands and his feet, to be able to do things. And again, that focus is our family unit, family structure. So we need to be able here to be able to raise our children. We are typically raised by parents. But we also need to make sure that we belong to the Lord. We obey our parents. We obey the Word of God. So let's go back to Numbers chapter 14. The question is, these parents weren't very good. They all didn't. They had disbelief in their heart. God will not allow us to get into the promised land because we're going to be destroyed. That was their concept, and God says that's a wrong concept. You're all going to die in the desert. Why didn't, in that moment, in their disobedience, why didn't he say, I'm just going to open up the earth and everyone 20 and older is just going to fall into the earth. We'll let it swallow them up. Why didn't he do that? Because God doesn't want to change diapers. That's what we're here for. He still needed these parents to raise these kids. He could still use them to guide them. They needed to learn how to do chores. They still needed how to brush their teeth. They still needed help with their math homework. Okay? And God uses parents to do that, whether they are completely sold out to God or maybe not so much. God needs parents to raise children. You must obey your parents within the obedience of the Word of God. Children, I'll pretend I'm not talking to mine right now that are in here listening. As addicted to the Bible, it doesn't make it very clear when curfew should be. How old you must be to date. I don't really find it in here, okay? Cell phone usage. I've dug and dug and dug. I can't find that. How much media time, screen time. Movie ratings. But Mom, Dad, the Bible's not very clear on what movie ratings children should watch. Should you have a car or not? I don't find that in the Word of God. So what do? You obey your parents. If your parents say it's 9 o'clock curfew, 10 o'clock curfew, come up to me and try to show something. Well, that's not in accordance with the Word of God. I'm going to have a hard time finding that one, okay? So what do you do in these areas that it's not very clear? As children, you obey your parents. Because I believe it's going to go well for you. As long as you obey them and you obey the Word of God. And then it says, for this is the right thing to do. This is the proper thing to do. Why would Paul, the author of this book, have to say that? Because they didn't want to do it. If he has to instruct, if he has to identify something, this is what you need to do. He's saying it because they didn't want to do it. They didn't want to, we don't want to follow that one. If he has to spell it out, it's a problem. And we find that in all the epistles, all these books in the latter part of the Bible, is the church is having difficulties. And they go to the only Bible they have, which is pretty much the Old Testament, the Psalms, the Proverbs, and the first five books. That was their Bible. And they read it and go, this doesn't help us with bedtime. This doesn't help us with curfew. What do we do? And because what we've been doing hasn't been working. And Paul's got to address it. And how does he address it? Obey your parents. Because this is the right thing to do. They were doing things wrong. Parents, have we ever done anything wrong? Do we have wrong concepts, potentially, in this nation, in this world of parenting? Yes. If you take this scripture and put it through the eyes, I would say, of maybe a majority of Americans, the scripture would say, parents, obey your children, for this will bring peace in the home and make them happy. That's what we are told. That's what we are taught. We need to adjust things so that they live in a safe place. We must give them everything they need. We don't want to challenge them because there's enough challenges out there as it is. We're deceiving ourselves. And Paul has to say, wake up. That's not how this works. The children should obey your parents. Parents, get a backbone. He's got to bring it up because there's a conflict going in this area. If I don't give them what they want, it's not good. Oh, Pastor, they won't listen to me. Or else sometimes we think, well, my parents were way too strict on me, and there's no way I'm going to do what they did to me. We're reacting in the wrong way. We need to realize we got to set up these instructions for our 19-year-olds and under. But the trouble is, some of us are sitting here the age of 20 or older. I'm going to group you guys all together. Does that make you feel really good? You're in that group, the 20-plus age group. I get to be in that group for a little bit. The rest of us might think, okay, I'm 20, so I don't have to obey my parents anymore. All right, there's an argument for that. So Paul drops a really good word. Honor your father and mother. Because he's not talking just to the children right now. He's talking to all of us who are kids. Honor your father and mother. That scripture, that commandment, was the Ten Commandments. Yes, we do that in children's ministry, sometimes youth ministry. We don't do it too much on Sunday mornings because hopefully you've learned those Ten Commandments. But when God gave those Ten Commandments, he was talking to everybody. And if he's talking to everyone and says, honor your father and mother, he's not just talking to kids. He's talking to you, and he's talking to me. Honor them. So let's look at honor versus obey. The word honor means tamao, not tomato, tomato, tamao. Means to estimate or fix a value. The word honor means to estimate or to fix a value. That's an interesting word. So what does it mean? Give your parents value. I'm talking to everyone this morning. Give your parents a value. What value do you fix to your parents? It's an interesting thought. What sort of value do you give to your parents? This should almost be like an auction. Who give me two? Who give me three? Whatever that value system is, he'll give me 10. And I think people should be shouting 100, 500, 1,000. This is the value I affix to my parents. None of y'all would be here if it wasn't for your parents. That's a pretty high value. I draw breath because of the breath of God within me, yes. But because of my mom and dad. That's a pretty high value. I'm pretty grateful for that. What value do you affix your parents? Because we need to give them a value, and it should be at least something. But some of us think, my parents, they weren't really that great. They weren't really worthy of honor. Well, there should be at least a little. But the other trouble is sometimes we look at our generation before and we don't give any value, and we think that everything afterwards is going to be hunky-dory, that everything else will be good. But there's a scripture, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7, makes it pretty clear that it starts right now. The godly walk with integrity. Blessed are their children who follow them. You need to walk in integrity. What does that mean? You need to obey. You need to be obedient. You need to do the right thing, which is honor your father and mother. And when you express that, there's a blessing to your children. It starts now with your attitudes. If you look at the generation before and go, they were a mess, and you look at your kids and go, well, they're a mess, what's the problem? What's the commonality? You, right in the middle. And how does it start? It starts with you honoring your parents and allowing that attitude of your heart to overwhelm the raising of your children. And your children will be blessed. It's a two-way street, and it's the cycle. Fixing this begins right now. Fix a value to your parents. We need to walk in integrity. Our children will be blessed. And someday, our children will honor us. You know, if we were to talk about overhauling an engine, maybe we would have to talk to Jordan. If you were going to talk about going on a wilderness trip to hunt sheep, Billy's not here, but he's a guidesman. You'd want to talk to him. I wouldn't help in either of those two areas. But I can tell you about experience I have and give you a picture. Because I have something precious, and that's my parents. And I know you don't have that. And so maybe there's not an understanding of how do I do this? What do I do? What do I begin? What does good parenting look like? And we're a little off track. We want to talk about children's, but also this relationship with the parents. I've got a great relationship with my parents, and my wife has a great relationship with her parents. And just this week, Monday, I was in the office, and I'm digging into this, and I got nothing. I'm like, what am I going to talk about with children? And that day, we had decided a couple days before, Emily said, hey, can I take Monday night and just go up to my parents, and I'm just going to spend the night with my folks? I said, sure. I can keep the kids alive for at least 24 hours. I can make mac and cheese. You know, I can warm things up in the microwave. Okay, so I'll take care of them. And so Monday night, she was already planning, and she went there. Why? Well, number one, to get that awesome meal from Marilyn Irwin. To be fed by something that she didn't have to cook herself. And Marilyn cooks very well. And maybe there would be some sugary dessert involved. We're not sure. Two, just spending time with her parents. Because she loves to be with her parents. I enjoy being with her parents. Sorry. Bad joke. Another reason is, you know, she can sleep in. No responsibilities. Breakfast is made. Probably the big one is our house doesn't have a bathtub. We have showers, okay, so we're clean. But Em loves, you know, she grew up in a log cabin on 80 acres in a big claw tub. That's her favorite thing. It's just peaceful. Why does she love her parents? Because they bring her peace. She gets to go there to a safe place. And she's no longer a child, but she's a kid of her parents. And she still loves to go there to be in her presence because she feels safe, taken care of, and it warms their parents' heart. She's in that blessing because her parents have walked in integrity. So Monday afternoon, I'm still struggling. I read some scriptures. I'm like, I don't know what it is. And I get a call from my dad. My dad which I've told you many times. This last year has been a challenge physically. Cancer, surgery, and about 4 or 5 infections, hernia surgeries, all these different things. It's been a long battle. And he just had another surgery, which is successful, but I think he's finally learning to obey doctors and not lift things up. And he says, we have all this Christmas stuff. Would you be able to come sometime this week and help me haul stuff up upstairs? Absolutely, Dad. I'm going to be there because I don't want you to do that. And so I went there Tuesday morning. And, of course, you walk in the door and you smell bacon. And so we sit around the table and we have a meal together. And we talk for half an hour. And I guarantee if you had a transcript, because that's all we hear about these days in our news, if you had a transcript of that conversation with my parents, I guarantee about every 2 minutes at least, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. Because we're just talking about life. But life is all about what God is doing in our lives. And they're asking me questions, and I'm asking them questions. And we're talking about godly stuff as we sit around the table. Because that's what I do with my folks. We talk about God. And I love it. Then we look at our watch, and okay, we got to get things done, and about a half an hour of work. And I move some things up into their attic. And then I'm about ready to go, and I walk in the door. My parents are there. We got our boots and our jackets on. And my mom comes over to me, and she puts her hand on my shoulder and begins to pray. And my dad puts his hand on my shoulder. And they pray prophetically in my life. And they pray spiritually. They pray as a covering. Not as my obey me son parents, but as something different. But it's this picture of what family should be. And they speak blessings upon me. And as they do it, revelation is coming to my mind of what I need to talk about this morning. And a few other things. God is just releasing that into me. And I'm able to open up when I was done. It's funny, as they prayed these things, it's kind of like maybe the struggle, the thing that maybe I'm working on right now, or God's working on me, just began to rise to the top. And I found this word, and I said, Mom, Dad, if you need to pray for me, here's the word. Here's the thing I need help with. Will you pray for that? And they say, well, definitely, they will. That's what my relationship with my parents is like. It's beautiful, and I believe that's what it should look like. That when you speak with your kids, and I'm talking older kids, this 20 plus, when you're honoring your parents, that you allow them to take care of you. You allow them to pray over you and bless you. Not once did they give me directions of what I need to do, because we've moved past that. But they spoke into my life. And that's what I want to do to my children. I'm at that obey stage with them, but we're also trying to get to that honoring stage. Walking in integrity so they can see it. That's the picture I want you to see. That's what I want you to desire for your family, with your parents and with your children, with your grandparents, with your grandchildren. Talk about God. Talk about life. Pray blessings. Allow Him to do stuff. That's what I believe this family should look like. Honor your father and mother. And again, we already covered it. But I'm not a child, I don't have to do that. But God spoke this commandment to everyone, to all of Israel. Honor your parents. Honor them. Fix a value to your parents. And the last word that jumps out in the scripture says, this is the first commandment with a promise, which is true. He had 10 commandments. And he gets to, is this number 5 or number 6? He says, honor your father and mother because this will go well with you. And I believe that. If God said it, I believe it. You honor your parents, it's going to go well for you. What does that look like? I don't know. But I know it's going well for me. And I've got ups and downs. But I do everything I can to honor my parents. And I'd say it's going pretty well. And if I don't think things are going well in my life, because God said things are going to go well, I'm going to go to my parents and have breakfast and some bacon. And even though she knows I'm not doing sugar, she made monkey bread. Ugh. It's hard to say no. And I'm going to be taken care of. And they're going to pray for me. I'm going to honor my parents and honor my parents. If I don't know what to do, Pastor Jason, my life is falling apart. Honor your parents. Well, they're not even alive. Honor their memory. Think about the things that they've done that changed your life for good, for God. even if they've done some things that weren't too good, but somehow brought you closer to God, honor them. It's going to go well for you. And it also says you're going to live a long life on earth. And that should be a good thing. That should be a wonderful thing. Sometimes we don't think that way. Sometimes we just wish it would end. And that's where our thoughts go. And I might challenge you, if that's your thoughts, you don't want the long life, tell me about your parents. Tell me about your kids. What are your thoughts? Because if you can honor them in that place of turmoil, I sit at the point where I was so blessed to be able to come back to this region because my kids can be with their grandparents. And someday I hope I can sit on that lazy boy and have grandkids on my knee, being able to bless them. Because that's the picture of what this family should be. That we want to live a long life. I want to live a long life because I want to see my grandbabies. I want to see my great-grandbabies. And I want to see how my kids treat them and how they treat others. And when I draw my final breath, I can smile because I know they're in good hands. They're in the hands of my Father, and they're my Heavenly Father, and they're hands of my kids that know God and love God and are doing everything they can to raise children. We should desire a long life and bless those. If you don't have children, you can have children. You can have adoptive kids that you can bless. Because some of you, you've never had good parents. Maybe you were an orphan. Maybe they died young and you need influences. You can be parents to people. I believe if we honor the generation before us and walk in integrity for those after us, it will go well for us. I believe today, and we can go in all the evidence and statistics, that the world is trying to destroy the family, one child at a time, and I believe one father at a time. We could go into this. Fathers, challenge. I challenge you. Raise your kids to fear God and not fear you. Be in their life. Show them, lead them. Show what it looks like to be a child of God. Pursue God with all you have. This is true for fathers. This is true for mothers. This is true for grandparents. But I think this world has a strategy. I believe the enemy, I believe Satan has a strategy. He is destroying one child at a time, starting before they even draw their first breath. And he is working his way up in the family structure, bringing every bit of turmoil, every single lie. We need to stop that. And we need to obey the word of God. And we need to walk in integrity. And children, you can make it a little bit easier by obeying your parents, obeying the word of God, and eventually getting to honor your parents and honoring our Heavenly Father. I believe we do that, this nation turns around one family at a time. This community, one family at a time, one community at a time. Children, obey your parents, for it's the right thing to do. And honor your father and mother. It will go well for you, and you live a long life. Does anyone receive that word this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. No matter if we knew our parents, whether they were godly or not, we have a beautiful Heavenly Father, you, to fall onto. Lord, you are a good Father, and you love us dearly. And you desire to lead us in the right path. So I thank you, Father. I honor you, and I pray we all can do that. And sometimes we misunderstand you, and I pray you can bring better understanding. Father, this morning I speak to the children, the 0 to 19s. And Lord, I pray you put a challenge in their hearts to obey their parents. And Lord, that someday that obedience, there are blessings with it. And someday it turns over and flips over to honoring, that they honor their parents. And Lord, for the rest of us kids, Lord, I pray that we can honor our parents, whether they're still with us, or they're long gone, or maybe they're not even in our life, that we can find some value to affix to them. Whatever it is, we can honor them because that's what you command us to do. And Father, I pray it goes well for us. I pray for life-changing experiences in our families. I pray that this each family represented here grows closer to you every moment, every day. So Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the family structure. I pray that we open our eyes, trust in you, and follow your principles and see the change that occurs in our lives. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.